fire. Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Helm, warp one.
Warp two. Warp factor eight. Engage.
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 Tea Earl Grey hot.
Tea Earl Grey hot.
Tea Earl Grey hot.
Would you like some tea?
Hello and welcome to the next Earl Grey and Picard. My name is Steven.
I'm Dan.
And today we will be talking about Chain of Command Part 2, a little bit about Part 1, but mostly Part 2, because that is the Picard-focused part of the show, of the two-parter, I should say. So, okay, is this the best two-parter of the whole series? Is Jellicoe the worst captain? And will Dan and I ever solve our audio problems? These are some of the questions we'll be tackling today.
I know the answer to one of those questions is no.
Yes. Most likely the very last question. Okay, so for those of you who have forgot what Chain of Command Part 2 is about, we will refresh your memory. So here's a synopsis from IMDb.com. While the humorless Captain Jellicoe, hurry up, leads the effort to prevent a Cardassian invasion, Picard is captured and tortured by a ruthless interrogator in an attempt to break him. And the description from Memory Alpha reads like this.
Captain Picard's secret mission fails, leading to him being captured by Cardassians. As he is tortured by his captors, Captain Jellicoe and the Enterprise attempt to prevent war with the Cardassian Union.
Okay, so this was definitely an episode I was looking forward to. I think it's one of Patrick Stewart's finest performances in the whole show.
Very Shakespearean.
Yeah. He actually studied, he did a lot of prep to get through this episode.
Oh, did he?
Just getting the name here. Hold on. It was with Amnesty International. So he studied tapes of victims from Amnesty International.
Victims of torture.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Huh. And, just to see what they're like, basically, and but anyway, that's a point we're going to get to later on. So before we actually get into the podcast, is there any Star Trek news that we can talk about? The only thing I think we mentioned this on our last episode was that the Picard series will be premiering January 23rd. Mm-hmm. So we are getting through the TNG episodes pretty well. Getting deep into the sixth season now. And then we have the seventh season. So we're going to do another one, of course, in the sixth season.
Yeah, Tapestry, right?
Yep.
That's one of the perennial favorites for Picard episodes. That's one of the Star Trek episodes overall that people talk about, overall the series, people talk about that one. Really looking forward to that.
Although
I really liked Chain of Command. Like, part one, they, with the lead up to Picard being captured for part two, we meet Captain Jellicoe, and I remember watching this when it aired when I was a kid, and I did not like Captain Jellicoe. I forgot how much I didn't like him, and I was surprised by how much more I didn't like him this go around watching it. He's a quick walking, fast talking, obstinate douchebag who just doesn't respect anyone's opinion but his own. And I keep thinking the whole time, okay, he's trying a little too hard to be a hard ass. It's like he's trying to hide some deep-seated insecurity or something. That's the impression I got the entire time.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, it seems like every other captain or admiral that our ships encounter, whether it be Voyager or Enterprise, they always seem to be douches, Like, for example, do you remember that one Voyager episode where they finally find another Federation ship deep in the Delta Quadrant? I forget the... Captain Ransom.
They were killing
aliens
alien race
at,
for
fuel. For propulsion to get home further, to get home faster. And, there's also another one in the original series where they meet this captain who goes mad from the Doomsday Machine. Let's attack the Doomsday Machine with our phasers and torpedoes. And Spock's like, dude, that will not work. We tried that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we got to do it. And I don't know, like, a a lot of other admirals and captains we meet who aren't Picard or Janeway or Kirk are just shitty. You know, it's a theme throughout the series.
In Voyager and in Next Generation, I think. Doesn't Sulu show up as a captain in both? I know he does in Voyager. Did he show up in
Next Gen?
Next Generation? Yeah.
No. There was in Voyager, I definitely remember that
one. Yeah, they're going to Tuvok's past. But in that one, he was good. Yeah. He wasn't a douchebag at all. He was a good captain, but that's also because he was part of the original series crew and whatnot.
And also in the Next Gen, do you remember the episode Conspiracy, where these alien bug-like creatures infiltrated the upper echelons of the Federation?
That's Voyager, Species
8472. No, this was season one episode called Conspiracy. Bug-like creatures infiltrated the United Federation of Planets and were sending out orders, complete bogus orders that made no sense.
No, I don't remember this at all.
You don't remember that at all? It's like one of the better episodes of season one.
Well, and that's not saying much.
It was a storyline that never really continued. Maybe that's why you don't remember. But, they literally went inside the admirals at the Federation. Then Riker and Picard had to phaser.
I do remember that. It was a group mind thing. They had a hive mind kind of mentality.
They did, yeah.
Okay, I only remember the Riker and Picard phasering the admirals.
That was pretty gruesome, I must admit. That's one of the most gruesome battles you'll ever see in the whole series. You know, just like this guy's head exploding.
Yeah.
You know? We've never seen anything like that before or since. Maybe with the exception of the Borg?
To a degree.
But you never really saw a head exploding.
No, not a whole lot of blood in the... Like in Chain of Command Part 2, there's some blood when they torture Picard, but even that's pretty discreet.
You know, Dan, one thing we forgot to do is we forgot to talk about the beer that we're drinking today.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, okay. So, I actually found a new non-IPA beer that I like to talk about. It is called Singa, and it's a product of Thailand, and tastes really good. Dan, you had one right when you came here, right?
Yeah, for me, it's a good summer beer. Nice and light.
Yeah, and it reminds me of Thailand. I have really good memories of staying in Thailand. I've been there 7 times. Go there mainly for the massages. And
he's not kidding when he says that, folks.
Yeah, no, I'm not. No, it's mainly massages and beer. That's the only reason why I go to Thailand, so... You know the beer is good when you go to a country 7 different times to have the beer there, right? So, Dan,
I'm drinking the Double Dead Elephant from Railway City, double IPA, very, very tasty, 8% alcohol, and 90 on the IBU scale. So far, so good. I'm quite enjoying it.
Okay, I think you've had that before on one of our shows.
Yes. Yeah, it is a perennial favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, we are not going all out on the beer today, on the unique beers, let's say, or ones we haven't done before in the podcast. Why? I have no idea. We just got a bit lazy. But I'm glad that, you know, we're actually drinking some Singa today. It's the first non-IPA beer we've had on the show, and pretty damn amazing. And I was happy to find it at our local LCBO. Okay, so I just finished the Singa. Now I am on to a beer I've had before on this podcast. And it literally just says IPA on it. Oh, your full-time IPA. I know I've had this before. It's one of my favorites. 6.7%. Delicious. It's not going to quite hit the Sparkle Puff level on the rating scale, but it will be up there. All right.
So we get into the episode a little bit. It opens with Picard with the Cardassians. You know, he's handcuffed, he's all chained up, and you see the Cardassian, the head Cardassian, Gullah Madred, the one who's going to be torturing Picard. He is a great actor.
David Warner,
yeah, he's a British guy. He's been around forever. Still alive, he's 78 now, but the chemistry that he shows with Picard, he's a very sinister and intelligent man. He's like an evil shadow to Picard. He's like an evil doppelganger almost. Yep. The chemistry that the two of them have, Patrick Stewart and David Warner, is just phenomenal. The back and forth that they have, like in the beginning when Picard's standing there and And then Gul Madred goes off and rattles off all of these things that they know about Picard, like his family, his mother's name, father's name, all of that, the name of the vineyard, everything about him, the Stargazer. All of that is just stunning and does a great way, and it's a great way to kind of show the trouble that Picard's in and how powerful the Cardassians are in this situation.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, it was awesome.
No, the chemistry they have on screen is just amazing.
Well, when he says Picard will die if he doesn't answer the questions, you believe it. Like, when the music, that heavy music plays as Gul Madred says that, like, yeah, I actually believe that's going to happen. I don't believe it's like a episode of the week kind of thing where he's going to get out scot-free. Like, shit's going to go down. Like,
yeah.
Like, you fucking, like, he's got that magnetism and that chemistry that you just totally believe what he's saying.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, David Warner, he only had 3 days to prepare for this role.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Holy
and
shit.
So he also had a lot of trouble remembering the technobabble aspects of his dialogue. So what people actually did was they held cue cards up for him to, you know, remember his lines. And so if you actually watch the episode, he at some points he's looking over Patrick Stewart's shoulder so he can read the cue cards. So next time you watch it, look out for that. You know, because that's literally what people were doing, holding up giant cue cards with his lines on it because he didn't have enough time to prep for the episode.
Oh, that's funny. They still did a fucking great job.
It was amazing. Just the chemistry they had was just.
I was thinking, like I said to Steven earlier before we started recording, this episode is, for me, I'm going to talk more about the whole episode, or the episode as a whole, I guess, rather than just the Picard stuff, mostly because while Picard is a big part of this episode, and he's a big part of why the episode is so good, I just really, really, really like this episode. So I think I got thinking when I was watching, especially the beginning, the first act of the episode. Being tortured by the Cardassians seems terrifying. They're these big hulking creatures with bony ridges on their faces.
Body armor,
very militaristic. Their offices and torture chambers are like caves. They're all dark and black corners and harsh angles and stuff. And then I got thinking, as I'm doing a rewatch of Voyager right now, and a lot of 7 to 9 episodes and stuff, a Cardassian Borg would be terrifying.
We've never actually Borg seen that before, have we?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so at all. But like in general, the Borg are terrifying. I think a Cardassian Borg would be even more so. And then I made a note about Gul Damekh.
Oh yes.
I feel like he is mentioned either before this episode or after this episode, but he shows up. Gul Madred doesn't show up again, but there is another Cardassian who's shown up a few times.
Gul Dukat.
Yeah, he's in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, he's very prominent
but
in Deep Space Nine.
He first appears in Next Generation.
Yes, he does, yeah.
So
that was Cardassian in the episode called Wounded. I don't know how I just remember that, but it's called The Wounded.
Which one was The Wounded?
Oh, don't ask me to remember. I just know it's... I'll have to get back to you on that.
I like at the beginning, too...
Oh, I remember. It's like where this captain... Oh, yeah. Okay, so like this captain's family was killed by the Cardassians. And it's like a revenge plot against the Cardassians. Like someone holding a grudge against the Cardassians because the Cardassians killed his family in the war or something. It's not all coming to me right now, sorry.
Yeah.
But something along those lines.
Yeah. It's,
Like someone who's psychologically wounded by the effects of war.
Yeah.
You know, but the exact plots, we'll have to IMDb that one or Memory Alpha that one.
No, the, conversation with Gul Madred in the beginning, where he, like, strips Picard of his clothes, so he has no name, he has no rank, he's
humans.
He is simply just human, like he's just a thing. It's a great way to destroy Picard's sense of self and hang him from the rafters, arms over his head. And I thought it was a really neat bit of acting on Patrick Stewart's part, where when they let him down the next day, his arms are still held up at shoulder height because the muscles of his arms are all fucked up, and then slowly over the course of the scene, his arms drop a little bit at a time.
Yeah,
and that was a neat little
great acting
thing that
choice.
He put in. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, and what I thought too, at the end of this first episode, or first part of this episode, where Picard gets captured because Worf gets shot holding the door open.
Yeah.
I think Worf as a Klingon must be losing his goddamn mind at losing his captain like that.
I know.
But they don't really focus on that too much.
Worf is a stoic warrior who will not express his emotions, so I'm sure deep down his Klingon anger is bubbling to the surface, but it's not showing.
The you go back to Captain Jellicoe trying to fit in on the Enterprise and all that. I think Riker going toe-to-toe with Jellicoe throughout the episode, but in the beginning and then at the end when they're screaming at each other, but in the beginning, a testament to how loyal to everyone Picard is, like the loyalty that Picard brings out in his crew and his friends, just because of his strength of character, strength of will, his own willingness to do anything for his crew. And then you see a lot of that displayed throughout the episode, mostly from Riker, because Riker's the one doing a lot of standing up to Jellicoe and whatnot. But I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and Riker's assessment of Captain Jellicoe, you know, how he winds everyone up too tight, he doesn't convey a sense of trust in his crew or something, doesn't make the job fun, pretty much, is what Riker was saying, and it's true. His assessment of Jellicoe was spot on, and that's not a captain that I would
close-minded want to serve under. Close-minded, yeah.
That's not a captain I would want to serve under, you know. See, such a stark contrast from the kind of Captain Picard is, you know. So also, did you notice that when they were stripping Picard of his outfit, that he had no underwear on under that outfit?
I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
Hey,
so,
that's weird.
Yeah, that's pretty ballsy, Picard, just going completely commando under your outfit.
I'd be comfortable wearing a one-piece suit like that.
Underwear. He just had a one-piece on, and
seamless lines, like, you wouldn't see any outline of the underwear if you don't wear them, which would look better, but...
do you think, do you think they have Starfleet-issue boxers? I mean, I guess not. I mean, because on these secret training missions, you're just not wearing underwear, I guess. You want to be mobile, you want to be unencumbered. So, yeah, they just took that knife, you know, stripped him of...
and off they go.
Damn. And, you know, he was naked for real in on set. I read about that. You know?
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to, you know, just get right into that role. So, he was completely naked, and it was a closed set, and just him and David Warner and, you know, the equipment people. So, props to Patrick Stewart for putting all of himself into that role that day.
Well, through the whole episode, the big part of Gul Madred trying to break Picard was the four lights thing. There are four lights. No, there are five lights. No, there are four lights.
Yeah.
I'm positive, absolutely certain, none of them, at the time this episode was made, ever would have thought that the four lights, five lights thing would have turned into...
a meme?
A meme, more than anything. Like, you could say to a Star Trek fan, there are four lights. No, there are five lights. And everybody knows exactly what you mean. It's almost a gag at this point.
Yeah.
But a powerful, powerful tool of psychological torture to know that you've broken someone. You have to force them to see something that isn't actually there.
How long do you think you would have lasted in this situation?
10 seconds.
Yeah? I was thinking the same thing. Like, once they took down that contraption where, you know, I'd be hanging... you know, off that contraption for the whole night, I'd be like, all right, there are five lights, I'll do whatever you want.
I am comfortable with violence. I've been in fights before. I can handle that. I do not like the idea of being tied down and tortured. I don't like the idea of being, like, hung up by my arms.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? We can skip all this. I'll tell you everything you need to know, and I'll verify it by pulling up all the data on my pad.
Yeah.
Don't do anything.
Yeah.
I can back it all up. You can trust me.
So within 10 seconds, you would have been like, yeah, there. How many lights do you want there?
I've rolled over on my back. I've exposed my belly to the wolf and just go to town.
So 10 seconds in, like, that contraption comes down from the wall. You're like, all right, there are five lights.
You see there are five lights? Cool, there are five lights.
Yeah.
You know, I might even see six in there. You see six?
How many lights?
No, just five? Okay, I only see five. Okay, cool.
How many lights do you want there to be?
What do you want my answer to be? Because I'll tell you exactly
whatever
what it is.
Whatever you want to know. But I legit don't know the plans for Minas Corvo. I am so sorry. Like,
but give me a communicator in 20 minutes, and I'll try and find out for you. I'll give you everything I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, Captain Picard is a much stronger, much better person than either of us.
Yes.
He refuses to give in no matter what happens.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, at the beginning, he was very cool. You know, he was in handcuffs, and, you know, he's being taken into this very scary-looking torture chamber. And, you know, then he just starts talking casually about archaeology with the with Gul Madrid.
Yeah, they have a very calm, cool, and civilized, intelligent conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And then I remember, like, I had a little incident in Yellowstone that I told you about where I got arrested. Not my fault. We can talk about
You're
that
a bad
later.
Person, yep.
Yeah, I'm a horrible person. I killed a bison. No, I didn't. I didn't kill a bison. No, like legit.
I ate one, and that's illegal. So.
But regardless, I was freaking out, you know, and I just got my ass thrown in jail for a few hours, and like, man, I would not have felt like talking about archaeology. And but Picard, cool, calm, collected, and you know, so another reason why I like Picard, you know, just he has his shit together. He has his mental faculties in order. He is always, he's good under pressure, which is something that I envy. I am not always that great under pressure. But, you know, I try to be more like Picard in everyday situations. Sometimes I ask myself, what would Picard do in this situation? But actually, that should be my mantra every day. What would Picard do today?
WWPD.
Yeah, there you go. Hashtag WWPD.
I like when he walks into the room. I think before they hang him up from his arms, I think, where he says that he wants
a neutral representative
as afforded him under the blah 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 accords, whatnot. And then the whole point is, well, that only applies if we're at war. If you're a prisoner of war, we're not at war, so you're not a prisoner of war. So really, you're a terrorist.
Well,
Gul
Madrid was saying, you know, that person is on his way. Just wait.
Well, he was just saying that. To
yeah,
fuck
he was saying
that.
But then, yeah, like then, Gul. Who was the other Cardassian? I don't remember his name.
Damak.
No, I don't remember now. But yeah, he said that. You know, since Jellicoe will not admit that it was an official mission granted by Starfleet, that he is now considered a terrorist.
Yeah, so, they can do
he has no rights whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I see a lot of real-life overtones to that little scene there.
Yeah, yeah. So I talked earlier about how Stewart reviewed tapes of torture survivors provided to him by Amnesty International. I thought that was really, really interesting. Yeah, you have to hand it to his dedication about that. You know, like, can you imagine going through hours and hours of torture survivors and, you know, trying to emulate was seen by him, you know, this is the effect of hours and hours of footage like that. But, you know, it paid off on screen completely. I think this is one of his best acting performances throughout the whole series. Like that scene near the end where he listens to Gul Madrid's story about being a six-year-old kid and finding
the eggs
and finding the eggs, you know, and you know how his arm was broken and you know how he had a difficult life in general. And, you know, Picard was like, now all I see is that...
He pities him.
Is that six-year-old child, you know, who's acting out. You know? So, you know, it's a good statement of how we're all the product of our life experiences and how we act out from abuse as a child. And in this case, we have Gul Madrid, who suffered through some serious trauma as a kid and now has this position of power and can inflict that pain onto others, you know, and it's a terrible thing. You know?
Like Picard says too, like torture is notoriously a terrible way of getting information. Yeah, self-defeating, right? Because the tortured will say whatever that they think the torturer wants to hear just to make it stop.
Exactly.
Yes. But so obviously Gul Madrid must enjoy paying back what was done to him.
Yeah.
So I thought
it's an interesting character study. I thought, you know.
Well, you think you talk about him as a six-year-old boy and all that. That scene where his daughter comes in and she's playing with her little experiment there.
Yes, I
remember
that scene. I was going to talk about that. Yeah.
The cards in the background, they all passed out, nearly broken.
Yeah.
And then his daughter like loves her daddy and blah blah blah. Then she asks him, like, do humans have mommies and daddies who love them? And Gul Madrid says, well, not the same way that we do. They don't love them as much.
Yeah.
And then she just goes prancing off. Mm-hmm. And I like Picard's line. You have a lovely daughter. I'm like, yep, that's... Or your daughter is lovely, he says.
Yeah.
He's a honest, kind man, sees the good in everything, and still trying to fuck with him. I like the line that follows that, too. when children learn to devalue others.
Or they can devalue anyone, including
They can
their
learn
parents.
To devalue anyone, yeah, including their parents.
Like, yeah, no, that was a great line.
and that worked on Real Madrid too. You can see that it's kind of stopped him in his tracks.
Picard got under his skin quite a lot under very difficult circumstances. Like, would I have been able to have been that insightful? Under that duress, could I have
still trying to provoke his captor to get something going? Yeah. Like, he's got a full belly now that he's eaten that shitty egg. He hears the story about the 6-year-old called Madrid.
Yeah.
He starts making comments about how he pities Gal Madrid. And then he draws out the anger of Gal Madrid, and Gal Madrid hits him, which is something that seemingly, as a torturer, this guy doesn't want to do. He wants to focus more on the psychological torture, but Picard just gets under his skin, just fucks with his head, off you go.
Yeah, and I love how Picard chooses more torture in exchange for the safety of Crusher.
Yep, he's almost on the way out the door, and then turns around, and comes back.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I love this man. You know, self-sacrifice.
Well, you're too strong-willed. You may go, and then he gets to the door, talks with the doctor, and he comes back. Like, yep, that's Picard all over, up and down, in and out.
Ultimately, I think Gal Madrid is a very tragic character in the end. You know, like after that whole speech he gave, you know, how he was has such a difficult upbringing as a kid, and now how he's sort of letting it all out, you know, as an adult, you know, onto others because he has that position of power.
Well, you stop looking at Gal Madrid as a mustache twisting
villain,
thumb twiddling villain plotting in the corner, and just this tortured individual who, given what happened to him as a kid and how he was in Cardassian society, blah, blah, it kind of makes sense that he's doing what he's doing. He's not evil. He's just is what he is.
He had a terrible childhood, and now he's lashing out at society, you know, through his position of power.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I thought, again, this isn't, because I like the episode so much, so this is not just about Picard, but Riker being the best pilot. Is that canon? Do they mention that before or after?
I believe
in the first season, at some point, they mentioned that he's the best pilot.
I bought it. I didn't question it when I heard it. So it seemed familiar that he was a good pilot, but I don't remember for one episode that was mentioned on, but...
Well, I just like Riker, who has been relieved of duty at this point.
Yeah.
Forcing Captain Jellicoe, to ask him nicely to be the pilot for the mission, and then Riker says, "Oh, of course, you're welcome."
Everybody's reading. Yeah, so we're just watching the episode, and so we just see Riker in his quarters reading a book. Now, Jellicoe's like, "Okay, let's drop the ranks for a little
bit." Riker's in pajamas, just chilled out.
I like the pajamas in the 24th century.
So what struck me as odd with all this, so they know that Picard's been captured. They know that he's captured by the Cardassians. They know he's probably been being tortured. None of the crew are trying to do any sort of end run around Starfleet Command to get Picard back. Like, when he was captured by the Borg, like, they fucking went over to the Borg ship and they got him back. But here, everybody's just kind of sitting around. Data's the first officer now. Geordi is making jokes with the captain. Riker's just in his pajamas in his room.
Well, that's because Jellicoe is captain. You know, he is different.
Well, and nobody is.
You think there should be like
whispering?
Mutiny?
Yeah. Not mutiny, but like they're not even talking about going to get him back.
Oh, well, Riker sure was, but
screaming at him, right? But that's what got him relieved of command. But like they're not doing anything. They're just waiting for shit to happen. Like, that's not really the crew that we know and love.
So, do you think there should have been more conflict between the rest of the crew and Jellicoe?
Well, I think the crew should have worked together to get around Jellicoe to go get him back.
Yeah.
I think that would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Just, you know, a lot more sense given the family...
Dynamic
of the crew that we've seen up to season 6 so far.
You know, actually, J- Jerry Taylor. Okay, well, so the original writer, sorry, I have it right here. His name is Frank. It's a long-ass last name. I have it right here. So Frank Abbott Marco wrote the episode, but Jerry Taylor did a page one rewrite of the whole episode, yet Frank still got the sole writing credit. I wonder what his original draft was like. But I think you're right. Like, if I had written this, I would have maybe had not really a mutiny, but yeah, like some sort of gathering of the senior staff and, you know, like, and all of them talking about how to get Captain Picard back. You know, I think that would have added a lot. You know,
more
like,
muttering or something.
More muttering. Right? It's just something, you know. But I think there was maybe too much complacency with Captain Jellicoe, you know, with the exception of Riker, of course.
And it just didn't, that part stuck out just because it didn't stick. Like, it didn't make any sense to me that they weren't trying more.
Did you know that this was actually going to be a one-part episode and not a two-parter?
How could you possibly make this one?
I have no idea, but for some reason, to save money, they made it into a two-parter. I don't quite understand that.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Bizarre, like, to see Data in a red shirt.
It is. I was thinking that, too. He was in a red shirt one other time in the series. Can you name the episode?
I will say the first season.
Nope.
Oh, I have no idea.
Parallels. The one where Worf goes through different dimensions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
It is weird seeing Data in red, though.
Oh, it totally stands out.
And it, you know, I was just thinking, it must have been very difficult for Picard to give up command of the ship, you know, and like to go through that ceremony, never knowing if he'll see the crew again. I would have liked more of like sort of, is he really coming back? Feeling from,
or a speech or something.
Yeah, but Picard just like, casual. All right, here's the ship. I'll see you later.
I relieve you of your command. I stand relieved. Off they go. It was very casual.
It was too casual, you know. I would have liked more uncertainty in regards to, is this actually happening? Is Picard really leaving? But I knew he was coming back, but I would have liked more uncertainty, you know? Like, more, yeah, just more doubt, you know?
I liked, towards the end of the episode, as they start trying to negotiate with Gull... Garak, I think his name is.
We'll never get the name right, I think.
The other Cardassian.
The other one.
But then that last scene with Gul Madred and Picard. Gul Madred is trying to the very last second to break Picard.
Yep.
Picard is just screaming. There are four lights, not letting it go. And there's a whole... Oh, that scene where he's trying to break the transmitter,
yes,
that's causing him pain. And then, Gulliver says, "Oh, I had many more of those." It felt good. Like, that was just a great throwaway line.
Yeah.
And then the scene here where Gulliver says, "You can stay with me. You can continue on as you have, living at my whim, or you can live a life of comfort and pursue philosophical pursuits and blah 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 blah." You just have to tell me what I want to hear, you know. There are four or five lights. Picard's standing there, and then he says, loudly, there are four lights.
Four lights!
Just great delivery on
perfect
that.
Perfect delivery, like this exhausted, tortured delivery. Oh,
just
my God.
Just barely stand, just screams it out.
Yeah.
And then the other Cardassians come in. They go to lead him away. They grab his arms, and he rips his arms away, and he walks off under his own power. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Captain Picard, he's a badass.
I love that, man.
Yeah, totally fucking badass.
The acting of Patrick Stewart in this one is just phenomenal.
I've been waiting to get to this part, because I can't stay away from it. So... Captain Picard walks back onto the bridge of his ship, the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Captain Jellicoe then says, or Captain Picard says, "I relieve you of command." Captain Jellicoe says, "I stand relieved."
Yep.
And then Jellicoe says, "Well, welcome back to your ship. It's just the way you left it.
Maybe even a little better."
Maybe even a little better.
That's
You're such a dick.
That's
a petty, small-minded douchebag thing. But Captain Picard, being the man that he is, doesn't acknowledge it at all, just glosses it right over.
But
off he goes.
Did you see Riker's reaction to that?
Oh, yeah, he was not happy about
that.
He was that. Maybe a little better. What a dick line, man.
I thought the same thing. Jesus Christ. And then you have the scene right after, which I thought was really good, too, where Picard leads Troy into his ready room.
Yeah, because he's just going to tell her.
And then, like, you can tell through Patrick Stewart's acting that, you know, Picard's really uncomfortable with what just happens. You know, he's just he's rubbing his hands, he's kind of staring out into space and everything, and you can tell he is traumatized by what happened. And what I would have liked to have seen more of throughout the series is Picard dealing with some PTSD issues.
Oh, how could he not have some serious, serious issues?
I know, I know. Right? Like, I mean, he, in all fairness, he does with the Borg incidents. You know, like that.
Yeah,
is,
well, it's, yeah, it's for a few episodes after.
Yeah, but, like, it's a recurring theme through, like, First Contact. And
yeah, that's
it's,
true. That's a good point. Yeah.
And, like, in the new series, that's going to be an issue is the Borg, you know. And, but with this, it's never brought up again, you know. And I felt that the writers missed a huge opportunity here, you know. And because, I mean, TNG addresses some very serious issues, like issues with our humanity at times, right? So PTSD is something I feel they could have tackled a little bit, you know, especially with Picard, who's such a layered character. You know, how does Picard, like this beautiful Renaissance man, deal with post-traumatic stress disorder, right?
Well, like,
and like this is definitely an incident that would cause that, I would think.
Yeah, being tortured for days on end. I like, though, he's sitting with Counselor Troy in his ready room, and he's describing to her the four-light scenario, the five lights.
Yeah.
Tells her that he very nearly broke, or he did break, because he didn't say that he saw five lights, but he believed he did see the five lights in the end. Like,
he
got tortured to the point where he was able to see the five lights that weren't actually there. Like, holy shit, so he got out just in time.
Yeah.
Managed to hold out long enough. He managed to hold out for so much longer than I ever could. But
I mean, yeah, like he held it longer for days more than Dan and I could have. So I would have been like, how many lights do you want me to see right now? Seven, right? Eight? Like, I'll just tell you whatever the fuck you want. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
He even when he believed he saw five, he still refused to say it because he was just that stubborn.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
He didn't want to let him win, you know?
Yeah. And I think Gal the Dread had some more respect for him after that. Dude, is this from here on out that Troy wears a uniform? Or does she go back to the...
I don't remember her wearing the usual uniform, like her cleavage showing.
Because she's in the blue uniform now from here on out, I think.
Yeah, it's because Jellico wanted her to wear proper bridge attire, right? So, and see, you can tell he's like kind of rubbing his hands, he's... looks a bit uncomfortable. Like, so yeah, we're watching the very last scene here of the episode. We have the episode on in the background on mute, and
everyone he still looks tired. He still looks exhausted.
He does.
Looks like he's been through hell, which he has.
Yeah.
It talks about the four lights, and then how he saw five, and then it ends. Like, yeah, it's a perfect way to end that episode. Yeah.
You know, at one point, I actually had the T-shirt. There are four lights. I had that T-shirt.
That's awesome.
I lost it though, unfortunately. But I may want to order that T-shirt again, or I could get. If I don't know if you'd want one, but the Darmok and Jelata at Tanagra band episode, that would be great.
That's a great one, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we've come to about the end of the episode now, and this is the point where we rate the beers and rate the episode. So for the Sing of Beer, because of the memories that I have from it, the nostalgia I have from it, I'm gonna give it an 8 out of 10 Earl Greys. Dan, you had one too. How many Earl Greys would you give it?
It was a good beer. I give it 7, just because I don't have the nostalgia attached to it.
All right. And you had the Double Dead Elephants.
Yeah, the Double Dead. I really like that one. I give that one an
8.5. 8.5, okay. And I'm having the full-time IPA. I have no idea what I gave this last time, but I'm giving it an 8.5 too, because it is definitely full of hoppy goodness and delicious taste. Perfect alcohol content at 6.7. I am loving it. Okay, so as for the actual episode Chain of Command, I am going to give it 7.5 out of 10.
I'm gonna jump it right up to 9.
9, wow.
Just because
you liked it more than I did.
Good job. It's definitely one of my perennial favorites.
Perennial favorites. So see, like, I liked Picard's, or I like Patrick Stewart's acting a lot in this. The story, not as much.
There were a lot of issues with the episode, but the good parts overshadow so much of it that I can't help but give it a 9.
Yeah, like, Patrick Stewart's acting overshadows, you know, the kind of thin plot for me, you know. So, I loved his acting. Yeah, so 7.5, you gave it a 9. So the next episode we'll be doing is Tapestry. And as is our tradition, we'll be playing the trailer for you, the 90s trailer.
Struck by a lethal blow.
He's in cardiac arrest.
With little hope for survival, Picard journeys to the other side.
Welcome to the afterlife, Jean-Luc. You're dead.
Now, Q offers him man's ultimate desire to change his own destiny. But will he alter the past to stay alive?
I gave you something most mortals never experience.
Or die on the operating table next time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yep, that's a good episode.
Yep, there you have it. That's the one we'll be doing in, who knows, maybe a week or two. And when that happens, we will have new beers to review and talk about. We were a bit lazy this time, but I promise you, on our next show, we will have new beers. And, yeah, I mean, Tapestry, it's one of my favorite episodes. I won't spoil the rating I'm going to give for it, but it may be higher than Chain of Command Part 2, just saying.
Any episode with Q, and that's a good one, except for Cupid.
No, I love Cupid. I love Cupid. Okay, so signing out, I'm Steven.
I'm Dan.
And we will see you later. Bye-bye.